Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 26, but before we do, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much just for bringing us here together tonight, Lord, as your people, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we have the greatest reason to celebrate this season. We're not celebrating capitalism, we're not celebrating the things we get, or even the things that we give, Lord, but we get to celebrate you coming and dwelling among us. Lord, you sending your Son, Lord, as a baby, born of a virgin, with one mission, one purpose, to save those that are lost. And Lord, all of us here, maybe all of us here were lost or maybe are still lost. And Lord, we pray that your gospel as it goes forth tonight would bear the fruit in our lives necessary. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, typically, if you want to make the biggest impact, you go for the biggest and best audience, those that can help you reach more. Right? If you buy a billboard, you certainly would rather put it on the side of a highway rather than a one-lane dirt road, right? To get your point across, to sell your product. Nowadays, there's all sorts of ways you can market and manage with social media and different marketing strategies and techniques. So understand, like, if we want to get our point across or our product out there, we have to go to the right places where we can get the biggest impact. Well, see, that's typically the plan for man. But that has not always been the plan of God. And this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we remember that when He came down, He didn't come down to just the biggest and best audience, but He came down lowly, as we know of the story of His birth, lowly and in a manger. And as we celebrate tonight, and we continue to celebrate, let us remember that not just that He came down to us, but how He came down to us. Well, beginning back at verse 26, we'll read it again, verse 26 and 27 actually. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." Now, the scene for one of the most wonderful announcements is set in just these two verses. But again, it's not the type of place that you would expect such a grand and wonderful declaration to be made. We all read through it already, and if you don't know here tonight, the declaration that's being made is that God is coming in the flesh, that Christ is to be born. Really the greatest news that the world has ever received, that God was coming down to save. And so you would think, you know, maybe God would rent out the biggest theater He could in the area to make this proclamation. Maybe He'd put it up in the stars, make everything shine and light up so that everyone would know the Savior's coming. No, but instead we see a different story. First, in verse 26, we're told that the angel Gabriel was sent to a city called Nazareth. Now, we know Nazareth. It's become popular because of Jesus' birth. But prior to that, And Nazareth was really nothing. In fact, in John 1, verses 45 to 46, after Jesus begins his ministry, Philip, one of the disciples, goes out and it says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Nazareth was just one of those podunk, small, rural towns. It wasn't known for anything. In fact, even today, there hasn't been any amazing archaeological discoveries that have been found about Nazareth. There's been some archaeological discoveries that have named Nazareth. We know it was a real place. But it's not like it had the greatest theater, or the greatest music scene, or the greatest sports team. It was just kind of a small town. A one-light town, as we call them sometimes. This was the town that the Lord was going to announce the birth of the Savior of the world. The small little town. Not Jerusalem, not Rome, not Babylon, not any of the large cities that were around, but to Nazareth. And not just to Nazareth, not because there's someone important in Nazareth, although from man's, at least from man's eyes, but Luke tells us, it continues to tell us here in verse 27, it was to a virgin named Mary who was currently betrothed to a man named Joseph from the house of David. And that's all very important then to give all that description of who Mary was and her situation in life. First off, in this culture, women were not very, very much valued. If you wanted to make a big announcement, you didn't go to a group of women and tell them. It was the men of the day. You went to the men, and they decided what was going to be done and what was going to be said and if it was a good thing or a bad thing. It's not like nowadays where some companies will market their stuff for women, market their stuff for men. Women were never a thought. In fact, the law tells us that from the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is to be established. Well, they kind of added on to that law and said, well, it has to be, you know, a woman's word isn't worth that much. Now, especially in this culture, not just women, but women who were unmarried, which that was Mary at this time, it says she was betrothed to be married. That means she was just engaged. Although the engagements back then weren't just some, you know, photo moment where you take, you know, everyone could take a picture and then maybe they'll get married 6-7 years down the road. If you said yes to a betrothal, you were getting married. It was a big contract. But still, she wasn't married yet. She still hadn't reached that cultural moment of marriage, let alone even childbearing, which was another thing that a woman in that day was really their ultimate goal, marriage and childbearing. And so we see the Lord coming to this podunk city, to this unmarried woman who really has no status. And what's he do? Well, in verse 28, let's see how Gabriel, the angel, comes to her. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, certainly many people have used these sets of verses to kind of come up with all sorts of things. Typically, or most notably, the Orthodox churches, they use to venerate Mary, and they even teach she's godlike, or some instances go all the way to say that she's a co-redemptrix, which means she's part of our redemption, which the Bible does not teach at all. Some churches have even pushed back on that teaching now that used to hold to it, so that's good. However, just because people take these verses too far doesn't mean that we throw away what the Word does say. And what does the angel say here to Gabriel? Or what does Gabriel the angel say here to Mary? I'm sorry. "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And later on in verse 30, "For you have found favor with God." Again, had she done anything up to this point? Did she work her way? Are we told about Mary prior to these verses? That she was the most honored and favored and faithful woman ever? Not at all. But the Lord had chosen her for a very special mission. In verse 31, it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Here in these three verses is probably the greatest declaration of what's going to happen. The greatest declaration that this world has heard. First is that this Virgin Mary would give birth to a son and his name would be Jesus. Now, at first that might not seem that odd. Mary most likely had planned to have children, right? She's betrothed to be Joseph, and her and Joseph, like any other couple in those days, were like, all right, well, you know, we're going to get married and we're going to be fruitful and multiply. That's what our goal is. So to have a son, she's probably thinking, okay, yeah, I'd like to have a son. Joseph definitely wants a son. And then to name him Jesus, well, quite frankly, Jesus was a very common name at that time. In fact, there's a couple other people throughout the scriptures called Jesus. So it wasn't that odd of a name. So she's saying, okay, you want me to call my son Jesus and you're going to have a son. Okay, that sounds great in a couple years. It doesn't seem that odd. And she's probably sitting here thinking, why does the angel have to come to tell me this? Like, you know, I could have kind of figured that out on my own. But what Gabriel says to her next would be the thing that would stand out the most. He says, you're to call his name Jesus. And then he says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. This is what really stands out probably to her. She's this unmarried, lowly woman in a no-name town. And yet now this angel of the Lord, which would have been an awesome sight, says to her, you're going to give birth to the Son of the Highest. Now in that day and age, the Jews of those days, she would have most likely understood exactly what he's talking about here. Especially as he continues on and says, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. At that point, she knows exactly what Gabriel and who Gabriel is talking about. Gabriel's not just saying, hey, your son's going to be special, because we all believe our children are special, right? And the greatest. But your son is going to be extra special. Your son's going to be different than all of them. Your son is going to be the Messiah, the one that your people have been looking for centuries. The promised one that the Lord gave promise to back in Genesis chapter 3 when he said that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. The Messiah that Moses and the prophets spoke of, like Philip said to Nathanael, we have found the one that Moses and the prophets have spoken about. And he doesn't just tell her, you're going to see him, you're going to meet him. He says, you are going to give birth to him. These things that Gabriel mentions, these are reserved for only one, and that's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he says here that he will reign forever and ever. Their kingdom will be no end. We're going to read just a few more verses here tonight. In verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. And notice verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So this is the scene of this great announcement, the greatest announcement on this earth, that Christ is coming. For centuries, the people had heard that God was going to send a Messiah. And for centuries, they thought there were different guys, you know. At first, maybe it was Moses. Nope, it's not him. Maybe it was Joshua. Nope, it's not him. Maybe it was any of those judges in the book of Judges. Nope, none of them. Maybe it was Samuel. Nope, not him. Maybe it was one of the kings, Saul, David, any of his sons. Nope, none of them. What about one of the prophets, Elijah or Elisha? Nope, not them. But finally, the promise of the Savior was coming. Not at a king's hall or a mountaintop, but to the lowly. In fact, most of us here probably know the story of Jesus' birth. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born to rich parents. We're told that when it was time to offer the sacrifice for him, a rich family could offer a goat or a ram, but they could only afford two doves, which was something that the law allowed for those who couldn't afford a goat or a ram. He was also part of a family that probably had a lot of people whispering about them, you know. Hey, did you hear Mary was pregnant before they got betrothed? What's up with that? They keep saying it was God who got her pregnant, you know, the Holy Spirit. I don't know about that. I've never heard that before. He's just a carpenter's son. Or as Nathanael said so eloquently, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, the answer is yes. But not anything, someone. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The reason we're here tonight, the reason we celebrate this time of year. And maybe you don't celebrate for that reason, but what you really don't understand is He is the reason you're even here. He has created you. And just like we read here in this story, we didn't see Mary praying to Gabriel, hey, if you could really make me the mother of the Messiah, that'd be great. No one asked for Jesus, but Jesus willingly came of His own. Of His own and the Father's will. To save you, to save me, to save any who would come to Him. He will by no means turn away any who come to Him. In 1 Samuel 2, verses 7 through 8, we have this prayer and the song of Hannah, which is very similar to Mary. Hannah was a barren woman who had prayed to God to give her a son, and she ends up giving him Samuel. And so she thanks Him for that, and this is something in her song. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. That's exactly why Christ came. He came to lift us up out of the ashes. And not just lift us out of the ashes, but to set us in a throne room, His throne room, full of grace and mercy for help in time of need. This is the greatest news that was brought to us, that He has come. That's why later on, once He's born, angels go, and who do they go to tell of His birth? The first people to find out? Shepherds. And that's a whole nother thing, a whole nother sermon, but again, they were not well known in the culture. They were kind of vagrants. And what did the angels proclaim to the shepherds of that night? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The greatest news, the greatest gift. And it's for all, from the lowest of the low, even to the highest of the high. That news of peace and goodwill is for anyone who would hear. And so, this evening, the rest of this season that we celebrate, Let's celebrate the greatest gift. Let's remember where the Lord has brought us out from. Let's remember where the Lord came to. Lowly, like you and like me. For we don't have a great high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was tempted as all points as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, our great mediator. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the greatest gift, you coming and coming to die for our sins and raise us up to be with you. So, Lord, I pray for all of us here tonight. I pray for those that walk with you. I pray, Lord, you would continue to strengthen them and encourage them of the calling you've given them, Lord. And I pray for anyone who doesn't know you. Lord, I pray they would turn to you. They would receive the greatest gift given, your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.